We are calling Mr. Benjamin Fulford right now in Tokyo.
Hello?
It's Ben Fulford.
Yes.
How's it going, buddy?
Good. That's good.
All right. Welcome to Highway Diary. This is episode 152 with everyone's favorite former Asia Pacific Bureau Chief of Forbes magazine, Benjamin Fulford. I'd like to ask you, last time we spoke, I brought up Charles Lieber as the origin of coronavirus, the guy who started coronavirus, but you had mentioned that it was another guy and he's actually dead.
You know, I think there are a lot of people and expert in exactly all the right things, and then he died suddenly in Nairobi as soon as this broke out. So either he pulled because
Ben, you're
too much.
Ben, you cut out. You cut out right when you said the names.
Mr. Lieber was probably. I didn't actually say any names.
Oh, okay.
I believe that. He was killed in Nairobi, or he died suddenly for mysterious reasons. And so, and he was an expert in exactly all the sort of things that would be needed for this coronavirus. So either he was killed to silence him, or he was killed because he was involved in this mass murder attempt. I don't know the details, but I do know that they also got the top biochemist at Harvard University and some of his disciples. But more important, okay, and this is what people really don't understand. There's this huge campaign in the Western media to point all the blame to this Wuhan biolaboratory, right?
Right.
And if you, I followed the paper trail, and the Wuhan biolaboratory on 666 Gaoxin Road in Wuhan is owned by the George Soros Foundation. And this, according to Securities and Exchange Commission. Filing by the Soros Foundation. So in other words, the trail does lead to Wuhan, and from there it leads to the Soros, who's front for the Rothschilds. So we know where this originated, and we know where these people are. They're in Switzerland, they're hiding in New Zealand, they're hiding in the British Virgin Islands. They're not going to get away with this. And I already know that there's a serious hunt going on for the bastards, okay?
Yeah, it's like, and even mainstream news is saying, oh, well, is this a Chinese bioweapon? The mainstream news is allowing that narrative, but it's like, what if Charles Lieber invented it and then gave it to this Wuhan biolab owned by George Soros? So they're
tell me, why would the Chinese go around spreading a bioweapon that's designed to kill primarily Chinese men? Okay? What motive would they have to do that? Think about it.
Yeah, probably not a lot.
Put a few brain cells together and add one and one, and you'll get two, okay? Most people can do that much math, you know?
Well, the people that's trying to arise as the savior of this situation in America is Bill Gates. Bill Gates is, ironically, he was just on Jeffrey Epstein's Lolita Express, and now we're not talking about that. We're talking about coronavirus, but this is Bill Gates talking about coronavirus.
Look, I'm telling you very high-level insider information, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Bill Gates is a software program who's designed to administer vaccines. Sometimes the vaccines are good for you, sometimes they kill you, but either way, he thinks he's doing good, okay? That's what Bill Gates is.
What do you mean he's a software program?
The real Bill Gates is irrelevant. What we're having is a construct. They're using his persona to push a certain agenda. And you have to look at the people behind that and not just this one individual.
Can I want to play this, what he said, because what he said was kind of creepy. So I want to play this Bill Gates clip.
About Africa and all the developing countries, their ability to social distance is limited. It may be that the seasonality in the southern hemisphere is holding back infections, and so it'll start to accelerate in a few months. That would be good news for the northern hemisphere to have a period of 6 months of less force of infection. But unless there's some surprise thing that means the virus doesn't do well in those countries, they're likely in the end to have the greatest economic damage and the greatest number of deaths.
If the virus doesn't do well?
Yeah, like I say, he's kind of overacting his boogeyman role these days, but I wouldn't put too much credit in his stuff. They're kind of jerking his chain a bit now, saying, hey man, you went too far with that boogeyman stuff. But for sure, I think more important, if you saw the Kennedy, Robert Kennedy Jr. won his lawsuit showing that vaccine companies haven't tested any vaccines for safety for the past 30 years. That's what we should be paying attention to. And I think this Bill Gates stuff is a distraction.
Do you think, because what they're going to try to do, what his plot is, and you can speak more to who's behind Bill Gates, but his plot is, in several interviews, he's saying that everyone has to get vaccinated, you can't go anywhere unless you have a vaccine proof certificate in your cell phone.
Yeah, I think this is part of a campaign to scare the sheep awake. You know, the sheep will awake. We're saying the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's something to try to wake these people up from their, you know, sleepwalking. And you have to, you know, just somehow get them out of their brainwash. And so this is one way of doing it.
It's weird that they're making the enemy each other. The enemy is, the whole thing is social distance. Just in terms of the propaganda and the mind thing that they're trying to do. They're saying social distance. So, like, now grandma's the enemy. Now your friends are the enemy. You have to stay away from them.
It's crazy. I mean, you know, and anybody who actually talks to hospitals knows that this whole thing is a psyops. But the forensic investigation I've done and other people have done, these are like Nobel Prize-winning scientists, show that there is a almost 100% correlation between this so-called virus and 5G electromagnetic attacks. Okay, so wherever they put in 5G, you've got 27 times more likelihood of this thing hitting people. And the damage to the lungs and stuff is exactly what would happen if you hit people with this kind of microwave radiation that's in the 5G. So we're dealing with it by getting rid of the 5G and hunting down all the people involved in irradiating people with dangerous microwaves. You know, I'm not going to go into the science here, but I have already posted in my newsletter links to Nobel Prize winning scientists, you know, technical explanations of exactly how that wavelength they use for 5G damages human cells and leads to all sorts of damaged cellular material being expelled through the lungs, eyes, nose, etc. And we're dealing with it. In Japan, the reason why they have a few fatalities is because I actually phoned the head of intelligence for the Abe government. I said, look, because the newspapers are saying they're going to have 5G nationwide the next day, and I could see the towers just right outside my door. So I phoned them up and said, look, before you do that, test it for safety. And they did on this Diamond Princess ship. They took a bunch of human guinea pigs and they hit them with the 5G and they found out it was making them sick. And that's why they stopped the rollout here in Japan and saved countless lives. Yeah. Unfortunately, I've heard from CIA sources who I've met face to face who sent Thai people in to Wuhan after this thing broke out. And they're reporting millions of deaths, and it was linked to 10,000 5G cell phone towers that they just put up and linked to Chinese GPS satellites. That led to some sort of electromagnetic pulse, probably an attack by a third party and not an accident. And believe me, the people involved in this are being systematically traced and dealt with, because literally they killed millions of people with an electromagnetic attack on
Wuhan. So you're saying that you phoned the Japanese officials and then they tested 5G on unsuspecting people to confirm what you were saying?
Well, what I told them is, you know, at the very least, do some safety testing before you carry it out. You know, I said, you don't have to believe my conspiracy theory. Just test it. That's all I asked them to do, OK? Okay, I didn't say, you know, just see for yourself before you, you know, put it all over the country. Just test it. I didn't tell them how, but it turns out what they did was they took the people on this cruise ship as guinea pigs and did it that way. I mean, ethically, there's all sorts of problems with that, but the result was that they found it was dangerous and they stopped installing it throughout the nation.
Yeah, I also heard that Holland or the Netherlands, they stopped it up front after a little testing themselves. They said, nope, we're not doing this. Cause they...
Yeah, if you have a functional government that still has, you know, officials who work for the people, they do things like safety checking. That's part of their job. And when you have a functional government, they make sure something's safe before they, you know, impose it on everybody.
Yeah. Not like this government. It's pretty bad. You know, there was just a court case that in 2016, the DNC found themselves that they were allowed to steal the election from Bernie Sanders and give it to Hillary because they're a private corporation and therefore they're allowed to pick whoever they want.
Yeah, well, that's what we've been trying to bankrupt, is this corporation that took over the U.S. Republic. And we're succeeding, finally. It's been a hard battle, but, you know, they failed their payment on February 16th, and that's why all this chaos has erupted. And they're you know, trying still to extort and threaten their way into getting money, but we're not going to let them get away with it, you know?
Yeah, so the national debt, they missed a payment. Every quarter they have to pay on the national debt, and they missed a payment, and then coronavirus, and you're saying all this sort of financial lockdown started happening as a result of that.
That's right.
It's just weird to me, like, on the surface, as an American, what is coming out of the political system is just making no sense anymore. It's just, like, they've lost the plot. They're supposed to keep a plot going, and because of this dysfunction, you know...
Yeah, they're the proverbial chicken running around without its head right now. But I think that, you know, once there will be, you know, the white hats will be cleaning your country up. But, you know, there's still a lot of cleaning up and fighting to be done before that's possible. But that is happening. I have been told by my Pentagon sources that the hospital ships in New York and in L.A. were there to round up these senior people who were, you know, treating us like their cattle and killing kids and torturing them to extract adrenochrome. I know this sounds crazy, but you know, the truth is sometimes very disturbing, and people like to avoid disturbing truth, but it's the truth. The United States was taken over by a group of Satan worshiping monsters who considered us cattle and who tortured kids in order to harvest some high inducing type of adrenaline called adrenochrome. And now these people are being hunted down and killed, and the kids are being liberated.
Well, that's good news. I just, you know, I wonder if the revolution will be televised or not.
Where are you based?
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Well, go see for yourself, you know. Meet people on the ground. Is the hospital ships still there, or did they have tents in Central Park where they were helping kids? You know, we need people who actually are human to go and check with their own eyes. It's very important now in this age of disinformation.
Definitely. I was getting to they're trying to keep the plot going with Joe Biden. The Democratic Party is. After, in August 25th, 2017, federal judge Williams Loesch dismissed the lawsuit of Bernie's campaign. So, like, after Bernie has a lawsuit that they fudged the results in 2016, they did it again in 2020, and they're saying, look, we're allowed to have corrupt elections. We're allowed to fudge the results and pick whoever we want. But the definition of treason is being an enemy of the state, and one of the ways you can be an enemy of the state is voter fraud. So,
well, there you go. So, you know, like I say, I think the rest of the world is helping the American people get rid of these monsters because they're very powerful and they're very evil and they've been around for thousands of years and they can't do it alone. But the whole world's trying to help.
And this is what Liz Warren said about the 2016 election.
Do you think, though, that what we're learning from Donna Brazile's book suggests that the campaign, that what the Democratic National Committee did, meant this election was rigged? Yeah, I think it was.
That's it. It was. And now they're propping up creepy Joe Biden, who a staffer accused him of very, very serious sexual assault. And I have that.
Tara was one of eight women to accuse Joe Biden of some form of inappropriate touching last spring, after Nevada politician Lucy Flores alleged that the vice president inappropriately touched her during her run for Congress.
He just said, "Hey, come here, Tara." And then I handed him the thing, and he greeted me. He remembered my name. He just had me up against the wall. And I was wearing like a skirt and, you know, like business skirt, but I wasn't wearing stockings. It was kind of a hot day that day, and I was wearing heels. Yeah, and then he went down my skirt, but then up inside it, and he penetrated me with his fingers. And
so that's who they lead. That's who the liberals have now to lead the Me Too movement.
Well, clearly the whole thing is a fraud that's falling apart, you know, blowing up in their faces. I don't know. I'm not in the States, but I can't imagine what, you know, that there's still people who are drinking this Kool-Aid cocktail of bullshit. I'm sorry, BS, you know.
Well, I think they have, like, Obama nostalgia. He was a handsome man. The women loved Obama, you know. And
yeah, well, the Russians sent me posters of Obama's mother on an FBI wanted poster, and they're telling me that Obama's mother was Hitler's daughter, for credit. There's weird stuff going on, and they've got the photographs to prove it. You know, it's crazy stuff. We've been lied to so much about what's really going on. We're gonna, you know, what's happening is, like, when the Soviet Union collapsed, it was due to its bankruptcy. It wasn't due to, you know, democracy activists or anything like that. It was because they went bankrupt. And then the Russian people, who had been, you know, going to communist kindergartens and reading Pravda every day and watching communist TV, suddenly they find out that, guess what? You know, actually Stalin wasn't such a nice guy after all, and that tens of millions of your own people and all sorts of stuff. It just blew their minds. Well, now the United States is going through the same thing, as their corporate government's gone bankrupt, and we're trying to set up the republic again to replace it. And they're going to find out, and they're starting to find out, that they were hijacked by an ancient cult of slavers who treated the American people as debt slave cattle.
It's weird you say that Hitler was the grandfather of Barack Obama, if you also said that Theresa May, the father was Hitler, Angela Merkel, and now Obama's grandpa. It's weird how far-reaching the Nazi birthing program goes.
I published the photographs the Russians sent to me on my website for free, maybe later this week when I get around to it, so people can see for themselves. But yeah, I mean, they've always infiltrated through the woman, and they always take an intergenerational, long-term approach to hijacking governments. That's why they're so hard to fight against. These guys have been at it for thousands of years, and they take a long-term perspective.
I had a guy on my podcast, and a really good friend of mine is a guy called James Robert Wright. He wrote a book called Freemasonry, Ritual, Cult, and Abuses. He claims to have been told by a Jesuit. Now, when he started Masonry, he flew through the ranks. He got to 32nd degree in record time. And he was told by a Jesuit that Princess Diana was his mom because he was adopted. And he showed me certain documentation where his last name is Rockefeller and not Wright.
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be disinformation, it could be true. I just don't have any information on
that. I know, but when you talk of the scale of this birthing program, you know, all the royals think that they have perfect blood, and why wouldn't they?
Well, okay, here's something I can tell you that is true. If you look at the sigils, you know, the royal flags that the different houses have?
Yes.
If you see this lion figure, okay, on it, and most of them have this lion figure on it. It's the Lion of Judah, which means that they believe they're descended from King David. The story is that after Solomon... And the Jews were captured and taken to Babylon, all the male descendants of King David were killed. So the Judean secret society or secret police or whatever decided to preserve the bloodline of David by protecting his female descendants. And they married these people into various royal houses around the world. And, you know, these are what we know as the Habsburgs or the British royals or most of the aristocracy has believes they're descended from King David. That doesn't mean they're all evil people, but that is a real thing that exists.
And they want to maintain.
That's why the whole thing, you have to have a Jewish mother to be Jewish, comes from. And so since I have a Jewish mother, chances are I'm also descended from David, according to these people. I'd love to have some modern-day genetic scientists check this out and see if it's true, you know?
Yeah. Hey, that would give you more credibility. You can walk around, do whatever you want.
Well, if you go back that far, we're all descended from each other. We're all, you know, part of the same family. I mean, you know, like, I remember my ex-wife's mother saying she came from the Inuzga family and they could trace back 22 generations, and I did some quick math and thinking, well, that means that you have like less than a millionth of the blood of that original Inuzga, you know?
Right. It's weird how much the bloodline, it's a religion, the obsession of the royals.
It's not a bloodline, it's an ancient cultural tradition. That's the key. You know, for people who have been ruling as kings or for thousands of years, you do get a family tradition of learning how to rule. And so it's that cultural tradition, I think, more than the bloodline that you need to look at. And it's not all evil. A lot of these people, the pyramid is upside down and they're at the very bottom and they're there to serve the people, you know. They're not all evil, but definitely there is that whole bloodline thing going on.
It sounds like entitlement. It's unearned usurpation of power. I don't like that.
Well, sure, that's why we're pushing for meritocracy, you know. Like, anybody, if we have a pyramid that anybody can join, and anybody can climb to the top if they're good enough, and it's completely transparent, like a Eurovision Song Contest. Everyone can see, don't like who's at the top, they go up and they take them down.
Yeah.
This is a system that exists in corporations, it exists in the U.S. military, it exists in the Vatican, any organization that's, or the Chinese Communist Party, these are all meritocracies, and they function in transparency and freedom of information.
Mm. I wonder if that'll ever happen for screenwriting. I got my degree in screenwriting, but the things I write about, I don't know if they'll have it. I tend to try to expose things, you know?
Well, I've got a Polish ancestry, but I'm going to tell you a Polish joke anyway.
All right, go on.
You know what the Polish actress did?
What?
She slept with the writer.
Smart move.
As far as screenwriting goes, I don't know if your writing is good or not, but what I used to do when I was a freelancer, and there was these famous magazines, right? I'd look at the masthead, and I'd find someone like five or six down from the top, and I would approach them personally by phone to get them to look at my story idea, okay?
Mm.
That's how you got to do it. You got to find somebody who's got the time, and you got to contact them personally. If you just mail stuff, it just sits in this huge inbox, and nobody looks at it. So, you know, that's how you market your stuff. Now, the rest depends on whether you're good or not, okay?
All right. I got some things cooking in this regard I don't want to talk about on air, but...
Sure. Luck,
but I appreciate that.
I hope you become a famous screenwriter and get hot actress girlfriends. Okay?
That'd be great. That's my... But Harvey Weinstein kind of ruined that game, you know? But, hey...
Well, not if everybody's happy about the situation. No, I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with consensual sex. I mean, that's not a crime as far as I know. especially if you're above 18.
Did you, were you approached by some sexy lady recently, and then she asked you for your Wi-Fi?
I've had so many honey traps, but what happened was, in that particular case, I just got a brand new router for my Wi-Fi with a really complex, code, like a security code. And then I was walking my dogs in the park, and this Chinese lady came up to me and said, "Are you the famous writer, Ben Fulver?" And I, yes, and we ended up talking, and she's young and she's cute, and, she ends up coming to my house and spending the night. But I didn't actually have sex with her. I want people to know that. And then she casually asked me for my Wi-Fi code, and I gave it to her. But I realized, that was probably why they sent her, is to get that code. But I don't care. Like I said, I live in an aquarium. I have no secrets. I'm completely transparent, and I don't mind if they watch what's on my computer. I'm assuming. In fact, I was told, believe it or not, I was told by the Japanese military police that at least 58 different agencies were monitoring my computer.
Whoa. And they couldn't get access, so they sent a cute girl for you.
Well, that was the Chinese, yeah. I mean, and other honey traps, so it's not, we'll do that some other day, but boy. look, just put it this way. If some abnormally beautiful woman aggressively approaches you, you can be pretty sure somebody with an agenda sent her. That's not natural. That's not how it happens in the real world. In the real world, if it's a hot woman, you got to chase after them. You got to chase hard, good, or you're not going to get the time of day. if they don't come to you, unless there's something else going on, that's the basic rule for honey traps. Okay.
Mm. All right. I want to get to these questions here. You have placed a bounty on PayPal heads Elon Musk and Peter Thiel. Now, this was what you wrote, July 7, 2019. A bounty of 1 ton of gold has been placed on Elon Musk and Peter Thiel of PayPal. The bounty has been placed because they are abusing their electronic payment systems to suppress truth. This writer, along with many real-world journalists, have been a victim of their attacks. The gold can be collected in Hong Kong following completion of the mission. That's pretty intense. You have a hit.
Well, yeah, look, they in my case, I was hit with a bogus, politically motivated tax investigation where they tried to hit me up for 7 years of back taxes for stuff that I'd already paid. It ended up with the top 1, 2, 3 people in the Japanese tax department fired over this thing. But nonetheless, the PayPal used this as a pretext to seize all my money and freeze my income, my source of income, which is my subscription blog, and they seized the money. And I said, and they said it was for the tax department. So I said, well, pay the tax people with that money. And they refused. And then I said, give it back to me. And they refused. And they said, sue me. Well, I can't, just like many other raiders, I can't, go down to their corporate controlled law courts and deal with their corporate lawyers and spend countless years and dollars fighting that way. That's not how we work. So, I go straight for the top. I don't deal with their servants. So I put a bounty on Elon Musk and I put a bounty on Peter Thiel. And we play the long game. It's going to happen. When they least expect it, it's going to happen. They're going to get some girlfriend's going to inject them in the neck or somebody's going to put them in handcuffs. But it's going to happen. Peter Thiel may not even be around anymore. He's a vampire. He ingests the blood of 18-year-olds by his own admission. Elon Musk, well, he's clearly, at the very least, he's using technology that was developed at taxpayer expense for personal enrichment. So he represents a corrupt faction within DARPA that's using what was supposed to be a public good in order to create personal huge wealth. So he needs to be investigated. And all those DARPA people need to share what they've gotten with the American people who paid the bill for all the stuff they discovered.
Mm.
And if these people want the bounty taken off, they can pay me back the $15,000 plus whatever fine they think is appropriate, issue a public apology, and promise not to use their control over PayPal to suppress free speech. Not just me. A lot of other people I know are being hit the same way. It's systematic. I'm just a particular case, but lots of people have had the same problem. They're using this power to control international money transactions, where they're abusing it. And nobody gave them that right. So, you know, the SWIFT people and the PayPal people, if they abuse that, they're going to pay the price.
Who is putting up the 1 ton of gold on your behalf in Hong Kong?
Well, this would be the Asian secret societies who have lots of gold, and but they can only be used for the greater good. If I asked them to give me gold, they wouldn't even buy me lunch. But if it's for the greater good, yes, they'll do it.
Mm. Last time we talked, you were talking about Secretary of State Mike Pompeo is offering threats. And I didn't play that clip for you on the podcast last time, but I played it after you left. So let me play it for you now.
Since 1998, the United States has declined to join the ICC because of its broad, unaccountable prosecutorial powers and the threat it poses to American national sovereignty. We are determined to protect the American and allied military and civilian personnel from living in fear of unjust prosecution for actions taken to defend our great nation. Thus, today, persistent to existing legal authority to impose visa restrictions on any alien, quote, whose entry or proposed activities in the United States would have potentially serious adverse foreign policy consequences, end of quote, I'm announcing a policy of U.S. visa restrictions on those individuals directly responsible for any ICC investigation of U.S. personnel. This includes persons who take or have taken action to request or further such an investigation. These visa restrictions may also be used to deter ICC efforts to pursue allied personnel, including Israelis, without allies' consent. Implementation of this policy has already begun. Under U.S. law, individual visa records are confidential, so I will not provide details as to who has been affected and who will be affected. But you should know, if you're responsible for the proposed ICC investigation of U.S. personnel in connection with the situation in Afghanistan, you should not assume that you will still have or will get a visa, or that you will be permitted to enter the United States. These visa restrictions will not be the end of our efforts. We are prepared to take additional steps, including economic sanctions, if the ICC does not change its course. The first and highest obligation of our government is to protect its citizens, and this administration will carry out that duty.
So the ICC, by pointing out war crimes in Afghanistan, is restricting American personnel's freedom to operate how they want.
You know, a lot of Americans aren't aware of this, so I'll just, you know, let them know that what happened after 9/11 is that you had a Nazi coup d'etat. And the Patriot Act is identical to the Nazi Constitution. So your country was taken over by Nazis with a genocidal agenda. And sure, during World War II, if you told the Nazis that they're going to pay for war crimes, they would have laughed at you and they say, you know, but that's what's happening. We're there are people who committed war crimes, and I'm not talking about honorable warriors, you know, fighting against enemies. I'm talking about people murdering children and non-combatants unnecessarily. In other words, not even as collateral damage, so-called. We're talking about genuine war crimes that any self-respecting warrior would renounce and fight against. Okay, if you're walking down the street and you see someone killing a kid or about to kill a kid, you're going to either stop them or you're going to call the cops on them. Okay, that's what we're doing with these war criminals. I don't care if they're in Israel or whatever. If they're war criminals, there's nowhere on this planet that is going to be safe. We're going to hunt them down and we're going to kill them. And Mike Pompeo was later threatening the families of the ICC judges. You know, that's what cowards do. They threaten to kill your kids. They threaten to kill your women. They don't actually come to you face to face.
Yeah, he said these visa restrictions are just the start. We might have additional consequences for you and your families. But he didn't. He just left it open. But it's like these are people who the same people who tried the Nazis, the Nuremberg trial, is the ICC, the International Criminal Court at The Hague, who found guilty American people for war crimes. And instead of going through with that, they're threatening them.
Now, here's something, too. I'd like to make an appeal to the Nazis, okay? Because, you know, people forget that Nazi Germany, even though the Nazis had a really nasty genocidal medical experimental side, that's one aspect of the Nazis that we all find repugnant and that we're going to eliminate from the planet Earth forever. However, there's a totally different part of the Nazis, a huge part that... They were good scientists, you know. They were the people who came up with the idea of paid holidays, of health insurance, of Volkswagen cars for everybody, and the Autobahn. And they also invented rockets and jet engines and anti-gravity. Okay, so the clever scientific side of the Nazis, the people in Area 51 and other places with this high tech, we would like to invite them to join the rest of the human race in building a better planet. We're not going to, you know, we want those good Nazis to come out of the cold and join us in creating a better world. We don't want to, you know, associate that part of that, of the this group of people with the sadists and murderers who have been hiding in their shadow. Mm.
Yeah, I mean, they're certainly smart, and we could benefit from their technology, but they like to keep it secret. They like to keep it in an underground base in Antarctica.
Well, here's the thing. You know Admiral Byrd of Antarctic fame, right?
Yeah.
You know, he went down with this huge flotilla to Antarctica after World War II. Are you aware of this?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
I read his account. And where his plane was, like, lured in and it started flying on its own.
Well, I personally know his nephew, who's a senior CIA whatever type, and he's a good guy. And we're negotiating through him to get these people out so everybody can, you know, ride a UFO instead of an airplane, stuff like that. We're negotiating, but I'm in actual talk with the actual nephew. I've met face-to-face. Of Admiral Byrd, and we're trying to get the good Nazis out of the closet to join back with the rest of the human race. And then hopefully they will unveil all sorts of wonderful things they've discovered and share them with us.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you're saying after Admiral Byrd had his expedition, he sort of left an ambassadorship, and so there's communication?
Well, it was sort of the story is, you know, like... Antarctica is really cold and inhospitable. Well, apparently what happened was they found an area where volcanic hot springs had created a huge hollow under the ice, and that there was access to these hollows via submarines. So they built a base and they moved all their top scientists there. Well, the Americans said, well, you know, Antarctica is like really cold. Why don't you come to Nevada and do the stuff there? And also they moved to Australia, New Zealand, Brazil. In other words, they only hit out temporarily in Antarctica. Whatever is known as the Norwegian Antarctic base is what they have there. And I'd love to have that open to the world's public. But most of the Nazi scientists moved to, you know, places where they had better weather. And they're still there in Area 51 in Nevada. Mm.
Yeah, and then they're about to run Joe Biden to oversee that. Can I get back to this? Talking about Mike Pompeo threatening the International Criminal Court of The Hague. So I started doing research, like, how is this possible? How can the U.S. government threaten the International Criminal Court? So then I went on their website. By the way, this case has been erased from their website. This case of war crimes in Afghanistan is not on their website anymore. They list publicly all of their cases. This one is not there. That's number one. Number two, there's a part of their website, Article 43. Does the ICC have power to arrest suspects? And then it says, the court does not have its own police force. Accordingly, it relies on state cooperation, which is essential to arrest and surrender suspects. According to the Rome Statute, states' parties shall cooperate fully with the court in its investigation and prosecution of crimes. So, what the hell does that mean? This is a like a social club, and then if you're disbarred, then you're supposed to arrest.
At the very top of the world power in the West is what you end up going to the Vatican, the P3 Freemasons, the descendants of the Roman emperors, and these people are extremely powerful. I met them before, and they told me they're going to fire Pope Benedict, and they did. And so, you know, and these are the people who they do believe in, you know, law and justice. And if you look at the top ranks of the Western military, you find that they're, you know, members of some order of knights, maybe the Knights of Malta, Knights of Garter, Teutonic Knights, but whatever. And all these knightly orders basically, you know, say that they work under Christ and God and the Pope. In reality, they work for the monotheist, you know, families who control monotheism. And that's where the trail leads.
So under that theory, wouldn't they go along with arresting people found guilty of war crimes and pressure the Americans to uphold that order in accordance with natural law? And
well, there's been a civil war for that very goal, which we're finally winning. But yeah, but at the end of the day, it's men with guns who are going to decide. And most men with guns don't believe in using those guns to shoot children and innocents. Mm.
And we were talking the last time about the 9/11 truth movement, who got a grand jury, and the New York Attorney General said, okay, we will hold this grand jury. And it's like, okay, well, at a certain point you go, okay, now arrest yourself. Like, you know what I mean? You're telling the power system to hold a trial to arrest itself. And they've just been locked out of the gate since. And then this coronavirus happened, which kind of shoved everything under the rug for another round. But yeah, I don't know. It's
well, it's happening though. I mean, you know, a lot of people have vanished. I don't think you see any Bushes around anymore. They're the Pitche family. Originally it's Italian black nobility, you know, via Scherf. Pierce, Scherf, Pitche. Anyway, they're gone. You know, John McCain's gone, Dave Rockefeller's gone, a lot of them are gone, okay, but it's still going, but the battle's not over. But, you know, if you look at the highest level, you see a purge has taken place, and that the good guys have won at the top, and now they're bringing it further down the pyramid, cleaning things up.
I hope that's true. One guy who talked about the pyramid structure from the inside, this goes back a little bit, but a guy called William Schneblin, I read his books. He wrote one book called The Light Behind Masonry. He did several lectures about being inside Freemasonry, and I have two clips from him.
Crowley taught that the way you could live forever was by vampirizing little children sexually. And he personally bragged of having slaughtered 150 male children in 1 year. This is why he was called the wickedest man in the world. And this, I apologize that this is so horrible, but Masons are doing this.
So Aleister Crowley was the guy who started this child sacrifice.
No. This is going on for thousands and thousands of years. There's a huge amount of historical proof. It goes back to the Carthaginians. Okay, they're known to have sacrificed children. This is ancient stuff. It didn't start with Aleister Crowley.
Well, maybe he just said he taught it, or something.
Yeah, he taught it, and he got a lot of disciples, including, well, Barbara Bush is Crowley's daughter. Okay, so you see where all that leads. Yeah, no, these are the people we've been fighting, and we're beating them.
He had one more clip here that I want to play.
Crowley reveals the secret behind the all-seeing eye symbol in one of his books, the Book of Thoth, which is a very advanced manual on tarot card readings. And this is the eye of Lucifer. But believe it or not, it corresponds to a human organ that, for lack of a more delicate term, we'll call the rectum. Is that the occult archaeometric doctrine of Masonry is that by accessing alternate universes through sodomy, especially of young boys, you can access alternate dimensions of reality through what are called the tunnels of Typhon. And these Typhonian tunnels are the paths between these 10 evil worlds.
I mean, so at a certain level of the Illuminati, it's just like butt stuff?
Well, that's not really the case. There is that, the Skull and Bones faction, which you can trace it back to the church in Rome. I think it's the Basilica of St. Peter's. I've been there. I was taken there by the P2 Freemasons and now the P3. They have the original Skull and Bones there, and the initiation ceremony is a homosexual orgy, according to witnesses, you know. And that is a faction, an ancient and powerful faction that used... they got their power because officially sodomy was banned, but unofficially people in the military and all male organizations, if they wanted to progress in the ranks, they had to engage in sodomy. So this created a fifth column, including in the U.S. military. And by making it sodomy no longer a criminal offense, they've taken a lot of the power away from this group. But let's get back to the eye and the pyramid. Okay, the real story of the eye of the pyramid in the Egyptian legend is that you had Isis and Osiris who created the universe, and then they created Set, who got jealous, and he cut Osiris into 13 different pieces and put them around. And Isis was able to get back 12 of the pieces, and then she herself fashioned a penis and got herself impregnated and gave birth to Horus. And so you have the image of Isis with the young child, or Maria with the baby Jesus. And at first, the child is weak, but eventually he grows up and gets strong enough to overthrow Set, or Satan, and install just rule. Okay, so that's the legend. And I take it, you know, this is why you have the female bloodline, where they try to, you know, reassert control by finding a good male to, you know, to mate with them and in order to create a just king. This is the sort of thinking going on there, all right? So that's the real story of the Eye of the Pyramid, as far as I can tell.
So the Eye is the union of Osiris and Isis?
It's the Eye of Horus.
Oh, okay.
People can study this, but... just study the. That's why they had this huge campaign to make the goddess look bad, Isis, because they were afraid that a new Horus. It's a weird stuff. You know, we're going back to ancient legends, traditions. It's really biblical stuff we're going through now. You know, this stuff that's been going on for thousands of years is suddenly unraveling. It's an amazing time to be alive.
Well, you know, and I was very, with the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, with the temple on his island, and it seemed like we were on a fast track of waking people up, where if he took the witness stand in New York and actually had a trial, that was like a way where all this stuff would bust wide open forever.
Well, here's what I was told by a couple of different sources about Epstein, is that he was a deep cover agent working against the Satanists, and that's why he was exfiltrated and he's still alive and safe, because he helped catch these bastards.
So you think he's still alive, and where is he?
I know from my sources that he is.
And where is
he? Come on, the official story is just so...
Oh, the official story is garbage.
Who actually thinks still, and just doesn't automatically absorb whatever they're told, can realize that it's not as they're officially saying.
Yeah, the official story is terrible. I heard Ghislaine Maxwell is suing the Epstein estate because she was promised, you know, monies from him forever.
Well, you know, Epstein got his money from Mossad, as far as I know, but well, let's see where this leads. But you know, hopefully all those people in the elite who don't have dark secrets will join the good guys and we'll clean this thing up once and for all. Anything else? We're sort of running short on time, and you know,
no problem.
Longer isn't always better.
I got you. I hear you. I appreciate you giving me the better part of an hour. Let me ask you one question. It's been alleged that the Federal Reserve has wound into the Treasury. So now they're the same thing. But then there's also this oversight arm of it, which is a Israeli firm called Black... it's not Blackwater. It's Black something. Do you
Black
have
Rock?
BlackRock, that's it. Do you have any feelers into what that move is and what's going on?
BlackRock itself is not what I'd call a benevolent organization, but I like the fact that they're giving $1,200 no strings attached to every man, woman, and child in the U.S. That's a good start, but it's just a start. We need to have a complete cancellation of all debt, private and public. We need to release all the nonviolent criminals. You know, we need a jubilee, a real one. And this $1,200 is just a start. But if they don't do that, then we'll have to go after these BlackRock people. But I think that they're starting to wake up. But, you know, they were always on my radar. Because if you look at the Fortune 500 companies, right, mm-hmm. you'll find that they're all controlled by certain funds, such as BlackRock, State Street, and Banking. It's, you know, and there's a few more. And if you follow the trail, it always leads to this inbred group of families, mostly in Switzerland. And they're the people we're putting the screws on right now to try to fix up this planet.
Okay, Ben, do you have any predictions as to a timeline or what to look for to know that the good guys are winning?
I've been told this whole thing is going to take until next autumn, that there's going to be, you know, wave after wave of surprising stuff, and then the bad guys will be trying to, you know, do bad things. But I've heard this is going to, this whole period of turbulence is going to, could last until next autumn. So, you know, hunker in, folks, but after it's all over, we'll have a much better world.
Thanks, Ben. I appreciate you.
All right, bye. Being on. Have
okay.
nice day.
You too now, brother. Take care. That was Ben Fulford from Tokyo. This has been episode Highway Diary 252 with my special guest, Benjamin Fulford. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.